Good evening. This is KD2AIT, net control for the Black River Rally Service Net. My name is Jeff. This net is held every evening at 9 p.m. on the Boulevard Amateur Radio Club repeater on frequency 146.655 MHz. The repeater is located 2.5 miles southwest of Boulevard on Jackson Hill. This is an informal net, and all interested parties are welcome to check in with or without traffic. Emergency traffic has priority at all times. It can break in at any time. Is there any emergency traffic? Are there any portable, battery-powered, or mobile stations wishing to check in? This is KD2AIT, net control for the Black River Valley Service Net. I'll now take calls from regular members and guests.
KD2AIT, hi Jeff.
KC2NBU.
Okay, there's two. We'll start with KD2ZNZ. Jack, good evening. What's up?
Well, we had kind of a pleasant day today. We got up to 76 degrees. I see by my high low thermometer here. I didn't reset the low, but I did have the high reset. Right at the moment, we're at 59.1. So it dropped rather quickly. We had a little rain. Not a lot. I don't think there's over maybe 2 or 3 hundredths of an inch in the rain gauge, which I'll check in the, I always check in the morning. So other than that, it was just kind of a quiet day around the house here. Well, we went for breakfast this morning, and then but we didn't have any other stops. At least, well, yes, we did. We did make a stop. I even saw a tow trip. Yeah, we may have stopped at the drugstore. So anyway, that was our exciting day. 7-3s all around. Back to you, Jeff.
Okay, well, sounds like a good day. We got a little rain here. Not much, just a little bit out there right now. And I guess we're supposed to get a little bit of that this week. All right, thanks, Jack. Thanks for checking in, and we'll probably catch up with you there later. KC2MBU, Ray, good evening. What's up?
We got 55 degrees up on the hill here, and I don't know if it stopped raining or not. I haven't been out in about an hour. It was still drizzling an hour ago. But just getting my auction sheets ready for tomorrow's sale, and going to call it a night.
Okay, Ray. Well, good luck there with the auctions tomorrow, and we'll see you on the net there tomorrow evening. All right, this is KD2AIT, net control for the Black River Valley Service Net, looking for check-ins.
N2OIQ.
N2OIQ. Dan, good evening. What's up?
Hey, good evening, Jeff, and everyone on the net this evening. N2OIQ here. Hey, too much. Just kind of playing around with my phone. With the new phone I got here a couple weeks ago, and just playing around with it. I lost everything, so I did gain it back. So, anyways. So, not too much going on here. I don't even know if it's raining. I don't think it's raining here. I think by now it is. I was outside here a few minutes ago, but I didn't think it had been raining, but anyways. There we are, 56 degrees here. We got a little bit of breeze out there at 4 miles an hour. And, anyways, it wasn't too bad of a day. I thought it was going to rain most of the day, the forecast said. But, anyways, it turned out to be not a bad day. So, but maybe tonight, tomorrow maybe. I just look at the weather map there. I see some rain. The west of us is coming this way, so what happens? Okay, back to you, Jeff. Have a good evening, Doug Taylor, and to a white killer.
Okay, Dan. Well, thanks for checking in there, and please check in again. And, all right. Well, we'll catch up with you later. This is KD2AIT, net control for the Black River Valley Service Net. If I sound a little distracted tonight, I'm sorry. I got a couple things going on here, so I'm trying to do the net and something else at the same time. I apologize. I should focus on the one thing at a time, but it's a lot going on here at work tonight. All right, are there any check-ins at this time? This is KD2AIT. Carlos and myself had to work today, and had a bunch of running around to do. Got that done, got to work here tonight. So, not much else to report than that. This is KD2 AIT, Net Control for the Black River Valley ServiceNet. Are there any comments, queries, or late check-ins? And this will be the final call for the Black River Valley ServiceNet. Any comments, queries, or late check-ins? Okay, hearing none, I'll now close the Black River Valley ServiceNet. Return this frequency to the radio amateur use. I'd like to thank Jack, Ray, and Dan for checking in tonight. Say 73 is anyone listening in. This is KD2 AIT, clear.
Peter in Houston, 2KKL. Susan, 2KKL for Austin. Are there any stations wishing to sign in with or without traffic?
This is KD2AIT. Good evening, Pauline. No traffic.
This is KC2WI. No traffic.
KD2AIT, Johnson, KC2WIT. Any others?
KC2NBU.
KC2NBU, hi Ray, thank you for signing in. Any others? This is N2KKL making the final call for Oct10. Any others wishing to sign in with or without traffic? Alrighty, 7-3 guys, thanks a lot for signing in. This is N2KKL. Throwing this repeater back into normal uses, whatever normal is. N2KKL, give us light at 1-7.
Have a good one, Pauline. KD2AIT. KC2WI, it's KD2AIT.
I gotcha.
KC2WI.
I got you too.
Okay, Pauline. No, Jeff was calling me, I think.
Okay, 7-3 guys, N2KKL, QSY.
Yeah, I meant to tell you, or maybe I did last night, I don't remember, but did I tell you about the DigitalOcean website?
All right. Okay, I got to go back to Oct10. Thanks. N2KKL.
KC2WI, this is KD2AIT. Do you copy?
KC2WI, KD2AIT, KC2WI. You know, I've heard of that, but no. I think you were telling me about NaviCap, but then I never did get around to looking at it. DigitalOcean, boy, I've heard of that.
Well, they're a cloud server provider, and they have some really extremely cheap prices. For example, their smallest, I guess it's a virtual server in the cloud, is $5 a month, and that gives you half a gig of RAM with one core and 20 gigs of hard drive, but it's actually SSD, solid-state drive space, and a terabyte of transfer. And then, the next one's like $10 a month for a gig of RAM, 20 for 2 gigs, 40 for 4 gigs, 80 for 8, you know. Basically, it's, $10 per gigabyte of RAM, and then they also step up like the amount of the drives and everything in cores in step. But I mean, for a really small website, nothing with a lot of traffic, like the something that got less than say 1,000, 5,000.
give you a, they give you, you know, you can choose between a few different flavors of Linux, and then they give you an SSH. You can either use your own SSH client like PuTTY or something, or you can use one they have there that's, you know, through the browser, which isn't very good. But then you can go in and install, you know, if you want to install Apache, MySQL, or whatever. But for $5 a month, boy, it's cheap. We're moving over some sites to it here tonight. In fact, we're commissioning up some servers. And it's extremely fast, I think, I'm assuming, because of the SSD.
Yeah. All right, looking at the website. So I'm assuming the fastness that you're meaning, the fastness is, if you're, how shall I say this? Response to a query, if you've got some, you know, database there.
The speed in the I/O, you know, the input-output on the drive, whatever you're using, whether it's a database server or static files or whatever, the I/O is really fast. We got a couple sites on there that we started testing with that are, for the most part, just static pages with static images. And it's just like, it's almost like it's locally hosted on your machine. You click it, it's like boom, right there. And then we got a few PHP with MySQL on there, and it's also just picking it up real quick. We're about ready to move a big site to it tonight, which would be really the good test run for an actual production site that gets a lot of traffic. But you can also resize it on the fly should you find, like, you got a server there that's starting to get a lot more traffic, and usually you start getting a lot more traffic, that usually means you're getting some money, so you can afford a little bigger server, but you can go ahead and write on the, you know, tell it, I want to resize, you know, add this much more RAM and storage, and it takes the server down for like a minute, and resizes, and it pops it right back up.
Well, you know, that's interesting, because I always assume that any reasonable hardware would be way faster than than the internet. On the other hand, it's real obvious sometimes when you are looking at a web page, you know, and you're waiting for all the stuff to download. It's not your internet speed, you know. But usually what it is, you know, you're looking at a web page and you're waiting for the 40 items that come from all the ad servers and stuff from all over the place, not necessarily from static or database content on the web server you're actually, you know, looking at. You know what I mean? It's your typical commercial web page. Well, maybe if it's a company website or a store or something where it's all internal, that's one thing. But an awful lot of the stuff, you know, they got all this garbage on there from the various, I guess I'll just say ad servers, you know, that they've got, sponsored results or it's a website that has, links, ads, whatever, that, you know. So I guess, yeah, maybe if it's all your particular, everything is internal to the website, then that could make a difference. That's interesting. I just never really thought about it that way. All the stuff I do, I just have most of it's at GoDaddy account. It seems just fine, but like I said, everything I've got is pretty straightforward and pretty much all static, and the pictures aren't real big and stuff like that.
Roger, the real reason why I thought you might like this is because it's so cheap to get started. You know what I mean? If you really want to poke around with production Linux and you know, you can fire these things up real quick, and you can actually make images that you can get a server configured the way you want, and make an image of it, and then turn the thing off, and keep the image for whenever you want to fire it back up again, you know, the IP would change if you, you know, disable the server. But the, you know, the operating system and everything would, you know, and all the stuff you installed on there would be the same. You just might have to update some configuration files to reflect your new IP address, but otherwise, the rest of it's all there. So, or, you know, and you also might have to change, oh no, you wouldn't even have to change passwords, I wouldn't think. So, but it's, you know, it's amazingly cheap. One of the things we did is we got one of the smallest instances, and we make images out of those, and, you know, so that way you don't have to fire up a big one. And then when you want to create a bigger server, you fire up a copy of the small server and then resize that. So you can really, like, deploy stuff pretty fast.
Well, you know, actually, for a lot of small websites, 20 gigabytes is that's a lot, you know. That's a lot of space. And like you say, if you don't have a huge amount of traffic, but there's I don't know, and nothing I've done has come anywhere close to that. But that's interesting. What I was thinking of doing is maybe actually taking some computer and setting it up as a you know, Linux. Apache, all the whole, but just locally, not even on the internet. Just the first thing would just be set one up on, you know, my network and just play around with that. Of course, the only disadvantage is that I can only play around with that when I'm here, unless I, you know, go to the next step and whatever. But that would be real simple. And I got some older computers. And the other thing I discovered today has nothing to do with, you know, with this stuff, but I was looking at, actually downloaded the latest version of the digital FLDigi and related programs for all the digital modes, and I had forgotten that they've got that software available for Windows and, you know, Mac and Linux and whatever, and so I was thinking that another good, another play around with Linux thing to do would be take some older computer and maybe put a pretty good sound card in it, which I've got, you know, by today's standards, maybe you're just average, but a few years ago, you know, they're pretty good, the Sound Blaster Odyssey or something, and make sort of a standalone digital communications, you know, controller, that would be a real good application, a real good Linux application. It would be totally separate from everything else on any other computer, so it would be reliable. And if you wanted to, send a file that was on another computer, well, either you could just, you know, pass it over on a network, or you know, the brute force method of throw it on a flash drive or something. Most of the time, standard QSOs and non-emergency communication stuff, I think, is kind of keyboard stuff. But, you know, it wouldn't matter what, the FLDigi doesn't care what the file is as long as it can read it. So you send a text file or a Word document or whatever it is, you don't need to have the particular software on the computer. As far as the digital communications program is concerned, it's just sending data, so it doesn't care what it is.
Roger. Well, I thought you might get a kick out of it if you ever wanted to tinker around with it. Plus, if you're ever doing, you know, work with a client, you know, who, you know, just needs a small website, nothing big, like, you never know. You get, like, a... you know, a deli or a butcher shop or something, they need a website just for to do something simple, like, you know, put their weekly specials up or something. And, geez, at $5 a month, you're going to have a hard time finding hosting anywhere where you can control the, you know, that 20 gig. free to put whatever you want on it, modify it any way you want. And that $5 a month for a dedicated server, you know, granted, small amount of RAM, not a lot of cores, but I mean, for a small site, you know, that's pretty cheap. And then you could you know, make one into a template, and then whenever you have somebody who would need a site like that, you could just fire it right up real quick and have it right there. So it's a, I think for somebody who was going to, you know, provide sites for people or anything like that, or even any kind of remote server for whatever reason, like for a website maybe, like you were saying, for file storage or anything, boy, that's a neat tool to have in your box.
Yeah, it is pretty interesting. Maybe I'll try that. Like I said, I think what I'm going to do, you know, first is I think I'm going to just take a computer and set it up. And even if you don't, if I don't worry whatsoever about internet access, and just to set it up and access it locally. And you know, then you can, then you, it doesn't, it's not going to cost anything. And then after I play around with that a little bit, maybe this is a great idea to try. And like I was mentioning the other night, I have two or three ideas of things that would be useful to me for databases, and they would all be useful for to be online. Like if I do this, the one I was talking about for the section emergency coordinator with ARIES, and you know, you got to have just for record keeping of the various the emergency coordinators for all the counties in the section and all that stuff. Well, that would be really handy to have online accessible. For one thing, if I was somewhere else, I could just, you know, as long as I had internet access, I could look it up, and anybody else that was in the, or was interested, I was going to say in the section, you know, you could just look that stuff up, so that would be handy. And I don't know, I had a couple, three other ideas. I come up with them and then I forget them, you know, because I'm not going to do it right away. But that would be a, that'd be fun to do. Some of those things might be scalable and or, you know, sellable to other people. So it wouldn't be just an academic exercise. It might be something that would turn into a moneymaker in some way, shape, or form.
Well, Roger, yeah, you could do that on your own server at the house, or a cloud server, or anything, once you get a SQL server installed. Don't overlook Google Docs there. You know, they have their own spreadsheets and, you know, worksheets that you can make there that you can also share publicly, and you can, they also have an API where you can access the data. In fact, we have one site where we, you know, these people, it's about cars, and they, certain types of cars that the site's about, and we have all the data on every model and make of these cars, and on a Google spreadsheet. And they get to pick from them from a drop-down on their on the web page, but all that's all populated from the spreadsheet. So once you know, about every 15 minutes or so, it checks to see if the spreadsheet's been updated. If it has, it downloads the contents from the spreadsheet right into the MySQL database and then displays it into the forums on the website or anywhere on the website. So you know, that definitely comes in handy, because then, like, say if you have multiple people that need to edit the document, but you don't want them tinkering around with the database, you can, you know, put them right in there on the Google Doc spreadsheet. And, you know, it's also tied into any of those other features of on Google Docs. You know, you can do documents and all that other stuff.
Yeah, I haven't really played with Google Docs, but that sounds interesting. They kind of don't have to know anything about the databases. They just kind of looking at what they think is
you know, a chart, basically. I mean, that's what a lot of people use spreadsheets for. They're never not really calculating anything. It's just a list of rows and columns of information.
Roger, and you're going to find a lot more people familiar with that than any other technical aspects of databases. So, yeah, like I said, we do one. We have, like, the column for the year, the column for the make, model, length, or, you know, engine and all this stuff. And then when they go selecting it up on the form, it can, you know, it crosses references against that. You know, we download it every 15 minutes if there's a change. But there's a lot of options out there, and as I'm sure you know. And but I think, you know, for what you're thinking about doing, I think the MySQL approach would probably be the best for you to learn how to, you know, design the database, you know, the tables in the database to what you want, which usually from what you were saying, I would assume it'd be each table would have an ID row that auto increments. So, you know, because each ID would have to be unique. So say you had like coordinator ID, and that would be an integer that would be that would auto increment every time a new record's added, and then you'd have coordinator name, which would be a text field, you know, first or F name and L name and whatever else, and then whatever other information you have would be another column, and then whenever you needed to reference that coordinator, you know, you'd reference them by ID, or you could search them by name too. But I mean, the reference coordinator, each coordinator had their own unique ID. And I think that's the way I usually